Her skin was paler, her eyes lighter, and she had small, graceful features, like she might break if shoved too hard. The man and woman stood just behind her, a hand on each of her shoulders. The man had impressively bushy eyebrows, his light brown hair pulled back at the nape of his neck. The woman was pale and thin like her daughter. "I think you were lied to," he said. "But it was a nice thought." His mother's chest started heaving, like she'd just been running. "They did not send the wrong painting. That is the King and Queen of Valos." "Then who is that?" he asked, pointing to the girl in the painting.
"Oh, wake up, Casimir!"
his father snapped. "That's Mary," his mother said, her voice shaking. She clenched her fingers into fists at her side. "The question is, who is the woman you married?" The world tilted, and he grasped the edge of the chair as he lowered himself into it. That was preposterous. Who would take her place? Why? Where was the real Mary? More importantly, who had slept in his bed last night?
"Why?"
he managed to gasp out, because his mouth wouldn't form any other word. His father started pacing at a speed that made Kaz dizzy.
"You need to stay calm."
"I'm calm."
He was too dazed to be anything but.
"No, we have an idea of who she is, and we need you to remain calm when we tell you," his mother said.
"She was upset about that ruined prisoner," his father said, pacing even faster. "It made no sense for her to be that upset about him dying."
"She thought the punishment was..."
"Quiet!"
his mother snapped.
"She handles a sword better than almost anyone."
His father let out a hollow laugh.
"And we all know Valos soldiers aren't well-trained. Even a royal isn't that good."
Kaz looked blankly at his father. Whatever the king was getting at, Kaz hadn't picked it up yet.
"And then she asked you where Olivia was, didn't she?"
"Yes." Kaz's stomach turned over. "She asked again the other day."
"What did you tell her?"
A piece of hair had escaped from his mother's bun, like even her hair couldn't handle this situation.
I told her the truth."
His parents gasped in unison. The fog in Kaz's brain suddenly cleared.
"You think she's one of the ruined?"
His father ran a hand over his beard.
"Not just any ruined, because she doesn't have any marks. She's the right age, and the hair, the eyes."
"What?"
Kaz was drowning suddenly, unable to breathe or think or move.
"I think that girl is Emelina Flores."
Chapter 21 Em raised her hand to knock on Kaz's door.
She could do this. Maybe. Probably.
She lowered her shaking fist, taking in a deep breath. She had to warn him, even if it meant angering the warriors. She wouldn't let him die.
"He's not there, Your Highness."
Em turned to see Davina standing a few paces away, a half-eaten breakfast tray in her hands.
"He went to see your painting," Davina said.
"My painting?"
I thought you knew."
The color drained from the maid's face.
"It's a painting of you and your parents, after all. I just assumed."
Em's throat tightened. A painting of Mary and her parents. They knew. She scanned the area for weapons. Nothing.
"Please don't tell the queen I told you," Davina begged. "Maybe it was supposed to be a surprise, and if she knew, I..."
"Your secret's safe with me." Em turned on her heel, resisting the urge to break into a run. She didn't want to alarm the maid. She turned a corner and almost ran smack into Iria. Panic was etched on the warrior's face.
The queen has...
A painting of Mary, I know, Em interrupted.
We're leaving now.
I don't have a weapon, or...
I have one.
Iria pulled her sword from her belt.
Stay behind me.
Em looked at her in surprise. You're coming with me?
Do you really think the king is going to believe we knew nothing about you? We arrived right after you.
Iria leaned around the corner. She jerked her head, indicating it was clear to go.
We need to get Aaron,
Em said.
Koldo's getting him. We're meeting away from the castle.
They reached the top of the stairs, and Iria glanced down at the staff moving around the castle.
I think running is best.
It'll attract attention.
Do you know if they've all seen the painting yet?
No way to know.
What?
Kaz's scream echoed through the castle, hoarse and furious. Em's chest tightened, her heart leaping into her throat. She couldn't think about him right now.
Running is best, Em said, grabbing Iria's arm. But not here. Back stairway.
They sprinted down the hallway and to the staircase, their shoes thumping against the steps as they ran. Em slowed until her feet were almost silent. Iria followed suit, whipping her head around as they reached the ground floor. Em quietly darted around the corner and pushed open the door to the kitchen. It was empty, and she and Iria raced across the room. She dove outside, squinting as the late afternoon sunlight splashed across her face.
Which way? Iria asked. The front gate is going to be tough.
Impossible. There are too many guards.
She pointed to the tree Kaz used to sneak out.
There. If we can jump the wall, we'll only have to deal with one or two guards.
Where is she?
The queen's screeching voice drifted out from a window.
Guards, go! Stop her!
Iria took off, and Em followed close behind, leaping over a bench as she raced for the back wall. The tree loomed in front of her, and she grabbed a branch and launched her body up the tree onto the top of the wall. They'd used a rope to climb down last time, and she swallowed as she judged the distance. Iria hopped onto the wall beside her, and Em jumped before she could change her mind. She landed on her feet, hard, and she stumbled as pain sliced through her legs. She shook them out, relief coursing through her as she realized she hadn't broken anything. A guard ran at them at top speed, and Iria crashed down next to her, sword already drawn. Em moved to help her, but a second body smacked into her, knocking them both to the ground. Arms circled around her, the grip cutting at the air in her chest. She was on her stomach, her cheek digging into the ground.
Who are you?
A man growled. She twisted against him, kicking up dirt. One elbow thrust into the guard's face, and she managed to wriggle free. She scrambled to her feet. Gallo stood in front of her, his eyes flashing with anger. He wore his exercise clothes, his hands free of weapons. She raised her fist and launched it into his cheek as he came at her. He stumbled backward, blinking, and she took the free moment to check on Iria. She was still engaged in a heated battle with the other guard. Gallo moved in the corner of her eye, and she turned in time to get an elbow in her stomach as he swept her legs out from under her. She gasped as she hit the ground. He reached for her, and she quickly rolled out of reach. She jumped to her feet and threw two punches, one right after the other. He returned one that stung against her cheek, but he clearly wasn't used to fighting without a sword. She raised her knee and shoved it into his stomach. Gallo wheezed, hitting his knees. A sword appeared next to Gallo's neck. Em's head snapped up to find Iria standing over him, a sword in each hand. The other guard was dead on the ground behind her. Em shook her head, reaching for the sword aimed at Gallo. Iria gave her a curious look, but handed the blade over. A face appeared at the top of the wall, and Iria grabbed Em's arm, trying to tug her away. It was Kaz. He stepped onto the wall, and any hope of him understanding vanished when she saw his furious face.
I'm sorry.
The words echoed in her head immediately.
Let's go!
Iria yelled, pulling her harder. M whirled around and took off, the sound of boots hitting the ground echoing behind her.
Hey!
Kaz's yell followed her, and she ignored it the first time.
Hey!
She looked over her shoulder to see him standing next to Gallo, who was still crumpled on the ground, his hand clutched against his stomach.
At least tell me your name!
Kaz spread his arms wide, his expression a crazy mix of anger and incredulity. She turned, running backward as she called in a loud, clear voice,
Emelina Flores!
Chapter 22 Emelina Flores. The name had nudged out all other thoughts and settled in his brain like an open wound.
Emelina Flores!
He only heard it in her voice. Saw the way she lifted her chin when she said it, like she was proud of that name and the way she'd fooled him. The rage burned through his insides so intensely that he could barely feel the sting of the medicine as the doctor treated a cut above his eyebrow.
I told you to stay calm, his mother yelled. Not go chasing off after her.
She stood next to the painting of the real Mary, her face bright red with fury. His father was in a chair next to Kaz, a blank expression on his face. He would grip the arms of the chair every minute or so, like his anger was about to burst out of him.
She was escaping, he said through clenched teeth. She had gotten away.
He could have chased her down, but he'd run after them without a sword, and Iria and Emelina each had one. That was the excuse he told everyone, anyway. The truth was, he'd been rooted to the ground as soon as she stared at him with those wide, sad eyes. Why had she looked so sad? The doctor finished treating his wound and quickly scurried out of the room, shutting the door behind him. Kaz leaned forward, resting his head in his hands. He was such an idiot for not grabbing his sword before chasing after her. Though he hadn't thought he'd need a sword today to chase down his wife as she attempted to escape. He let out an almost hysterical laugh, and both his parents regarded him like he'd lost his mind. He had, maybe. A knock sounded on the door, and one of the king's guards opened it.
The other two also warriors are gone, along with Aaron.
His father waved the guard away, and the door banged shut as his mother gripped her hair.
We know where they're going, the king said in an oddly calm voice.
To Olivia? Kaz guessed.
Yes. I'll send soldiers down that way. Add extra security to the building. We'll catch them before they get anywhere near her.
Just kill Olivia, his mother spat. Send word to have her executed immediately.
Something twisted inside Kaz as he watched his mother's face contort with anger.
She hasn't done anything, he said.
I think you lost all right to have an opinion about the ruined when you told Emelina Flores where her sister was, the king said.
Kaz jumped to his feet.
Who ordered me to marry her?
His yell echoed across the room, making his mother jump. His father's mouth twitched, but he said nothing.
Kaz, his mother said, her voice gentle.
She put a hand on his arm, but he shook her off.
If there's anyone to blame in this situation, it's you,
Kaz yelled, his glare fixed on his father.
You ordered the murder of thousands of innocent people, and now you're surprised when one of them...
Innocent? His father roared, practically leaping out of his chair. The ruined are not innocent.
What crime did Damien commit? What did the rest of them do?
She got into your head, his father said in disgust.
You let Emelina feed you these ideas.
I'm not an idiot, Kaz said sharply. She didn't need to feed me any ideas.
And so you blame me? It's my fault Emelina Flores pretended to be your wife.
Kaz spread his arms wide.
I see no one else to blame. None of this would have happened if you hadn't started a war with the ruined.
Now I'm married to one of them.
His stomach clenched as he said the words, and he turned away, afraid his face would give away too many emotions.
You're no longer married to her, his mother said, like that solved everything. It's not binding.
He rolled his eyes as he faced them again.
Really? Because you say so?
Yes,
his father interjected. She lied about her identity. We will have it declared illegal.
Our souls are bound until death. He repeated the words the priest had said, just to make his father angry. It worked. The king smashed his hand against the painting, sending it toppling to the ground.
Then I will kill her myself!
Kaz's first instinct was to yell, No! He said nothing instead.
Your father is right, the queen said, in a much calmer voice than her husband. This marriage isn't legal. We'll take care of it.
Kaz shrugged. Whether he was still married to Emelina mattered less than what he'd shared with her, and how he felt about her, and how much he currently wanted to tear her apart with his bare hands. Why had she looked so sad?
Perhaps we could arrange something else for you, his father said in a suddenly optimistic tone. The governor of the southern province has a daughter. She was our second choice after Mary.
You must be joking, Kaz deadpanned.
She's lovely, much prettier than Emelina.
You must be joking, he repeated, slower. His parents were insane if they thought he was ever letting them choose his wife again.
Not the time, the queen said, shaking her head at her husband.
He raised his hands in surrender. She focused on Kaz again.
Right now we need to assess the damage done. What does she know? What was she doing while she was here?
She was with Iria all the time, Kaz said. They'd become friends.
Or they were already friends before she got here, his mother said. Given that the warriors have mysteriously disappeared with her, I think we can safely assume that they knew exactly who Mary really was.
Kaz cracked all the knuckles on his left hand, one at a time. We went down to the shore. She was interested in the towers and how we protected our borders.
And you showed her all that?
His father exclaimed.
It doesn't matter now, the queen said before Kaz could reply. We need to prepare for the possibility of an attack. Let's call in the hunters from Valos and Ruina.
It will take weeks to get them all back.
We caught Emelina off guard, his mother said. Hopefully we have some time. But we'll put the guards at the towers on high alert.
His father frowned at Kaz.
I can't believe you just handed over that information to her.
She was my wife. I trusted her.
The last words tasted bitter as he said them. He'd thought she cared about him and was excited about the prospect of ruling the kingdom with him one day. He'd thought she was strong and brave, and would be the best queen Lara had ever seen. He'd thought she was falling in love with him. Maybe she had fallen in love with him. Her tear-stained face filled his vision.
I don't think this is who I want to be, she'd said.
His brain screamed that she was a liar who couldn't be trusted. But he couldn't help but think that last night had been real. The thought flooded his body with a sudden burst of rage. If it had been real, why hadn't she told him the truth? He'd told her, choose better next time. She could have chosen to tell him the truth. She could have trusted him to listen, to be willing to negotiate about Olivia. She'd chosen violence and deception, just like her mother. She'd chosen wrong.
Chapter 23 Em and Iria spent an unfortunate amount of time hiding in a horse stall not far from the castle.
By the time they were able to step out, they both smelled and were stiff from crouching. The hem of her light blue dress was covered in mud, and she wished she'd had time to change into pants before escaping. She had nowhere to put the sword she'd stolen, and now that the sun had set, there was a bit of a chill in the air.
"Give it to me," Iria said, holding out her hand. "I have a spot on the other side of my belt."
Em hesitated. She didn't want to be without a weapon while Iria had two. If she'd been smart, she would have put together a bag to easily grab on her way out of the castle. Now she was stuck out here with nowhere to put her weapon, no water, and no food.
"Would you prefer to carry it?"
Iria asked, raising an eyebrow.
"It will just attract attention."
Em handed the sword over, and Iria slipped it through the leather on the right side of her belt.
"We're supposed to meet Koldo, Benito, and Aaron not far from here," Iria said, taking a glance around.
The main road that led into the center of Royal City stretched out to the east. Behind them, the wheels of a cart squeaked as a man pushed it toward the center of town. They were so close, Em could hear the laughter coming from the cluster of buildings. A few more steps, and maybe she'd be able to smell cheese bread. The man glanced over his shoulder as he turned the cart around a corner.
"Let's get out of here," Em said.
"Follow me."
Iria took off jogging, and Em hurried behind her. They ran across the road and through the tall grass until Em's legs and lungs burned. She'd lost some of her stamina while in the castle. They headed away from the center of Lara. They were traveling west, to the jungle. Em had taken the main roads and skirted around the edge of the jungle on her journey to Royal City several weeks ago, but she'd already considered it as the best way to go south. The heart of the jungle was still a half-day's walk away, but Iria led them into the thick band of trees just outside Royal City. She slowed to a walk, and Em coughed as she tried to catch her breath.
"You should have gone running with me in the mornings."
Iria was annoyingly smug.
"I'll be fine in a few days," Em said, taking in gulps of air. "I always adjust quickly."
Iria smirked.
"I hope so. They've only just begun to send out guards after us."
She took off at a quick walk, and Em struggled to keep pace behind her. Two figures came into view, and Em frantically scanned the area around them.
"Where's Aaron?"
she asked, jogging past Iria. Koldo's eyes were wide with regret.
"I'm sorry. I got separated from Aaron right after we left the castle. There were guards everywhere, and we were both just trying to get away."
Her heart squeezed painfully in her chest.
"They didn't catch him, did they?"
"I don't think so, but I never got a chance to tell him where we were meeting."
She let out a relieved sigh. It was unlikely anyone would be able to catch Aaron, especially now that he was free to use his powers. He would be better off than any of them.
"He'll head straight for Fort Victoria," she said. "We can meet him there."
"Are you sure you want to go?"
Iria asked.
"The king will assume you're headed that way, and he's going to send an army to hunt you down."
"What's my other option?"
"You can join Benito on our ships. Koldo and I will make sure the warriors at the fortress rescue Olivia."
"No, I'm going."
"I figured," Iria said. "Koldo and I will be going with you. We've instructed a few warriors to meet us with supplies and horses in the jungle."
"Thank you." Em regarded the warriors suspiciously. Rescuing Olivia had never been part of their deal. She'd been under the impression that task would be completely up to her.
"And after we rescue Olivia?" she asked.
"The king will want to meet you too, of course," Iria said. "You can accompany us back to Olso."
There it was. The warriors weren't helping her so much as keeping tabs on her and Olivia.
"Benito, you'll go inform our ships we're moving up the attack," Iria said.
"To when?" Em asked.
Tomorrow night,
Iria said. Benito nodded. Em's stomach twisted. The fear for Kaz immediate and stronger than she would have liked. Iria gestured at Benito, who pulled the bag off his back and gave it to her. He tossed Em his coat. Iria dug around inside the bag, producing a canteen. She held it out to Em.
That's yours. You're very welcome.
Thank you, she said, and actually meant it. She'd be much better off with two warriors than she would be on her own. And if Iria tried to force her to go to Ulso after they rescued Olivia, she'd deal with that when the time came. Chapter 24 Kaz stretched out on the couch in his library, folding his hands behind his neck. It had all his bedding thrown out and replaced with entirely new linens, but his bed still reminded him of her. Mary had left her presence in every corner of his life, but she'd left the biggest one in his bed, even after only one night. Emelina, he corrected himself, trying to push the image of her out of his head. He'd promised himself he wouldn't think about her, but she wriggled into his brain at every possible moment. He could think of nothing else. His parents had stopped all the summer activities, and the castle had been eerily quiet all day. The staff edged around him like they were afraid he was going to explode. He was used to making people uncomfortable, but this was something new and much worse. They pitied him. He hated her. He hoped she'd tripped on one of her stupid dresses and broken something and was now hobbling around in terrible pain. A wave of guilt followed the thought. He cursed himself for it. I don't think this is who I want to be. The words had been so sincere, and they were all he could think of. He'd spent most of the day trying to sort through what had been real. He'd known a little bit of the real Emelina. He was sure of it. The night in her bedroom had been real. When she described her mother as powerful and angry, and her father as her quiet audience, that was the real Emelina. It fit with what Kaz knew about Wenda Flores and her husband. Everything she'd said about the ruined had been real. She hadn't even tried to hide her sympathy for them. But she'd said she was an only child. She said it was lonely, when in reality she had Olivia. Or she did, before Kaz's father took Olivia and locked her away. He moaned as another wave of guilt washed over him. How had she managed to even look him in the eye? He'd known Olivia was locked up, and it had never even occurred to him to inquire about her before Emelina mentioned it. No wonder she'd seemed miserable on their wedding day. But you're not dumb, you're not naive, you're not any of the things they try to make you out to be. She didn't have to say that to him. She didn't have to come to his room and sleep in his bed. He'd given her plenty of space, and she'd come to him repeatedly. Was he an idiot to think she'd grown to care for him? Was it wishful thinking? A knock sounded at the door, and Gallo stuck his head in a moment later. May I come in? Kaz sat up, and the guard eased onto the couch next to him. Are you drunk? Gallo asked. Do I look drunk? No, but your mother said you probably were. My mother is the one who deals with her sadness by getting drunk. Though it wasn't a bad idea. Maybe he'd do that later. I'm sorry, Gallo said quietly. It's fine. No, it's not. He'd said it's fine to his father this afternoon. His father had just patted Kaz on the back and given him a look of approval. No, it's not, Kaz repeated. I think she really did care about you, Gallo said. Are you trying to make me feel better? No, I think she did.
He rubbed the blue bruise on his chin. Emelina had given it to him.
She didn't kill me. She took the sword from Iria and didn't let her do it.
They needed to run, Kaz said.
There was plenty of time to kill me, to make sure I didn't run after them.
One side of his mouth lifted.
And as much as I'd like to think it's because of my sparkling personality, I suspect she spared me because I'm your friend.
They could have killed me too, I guess. Kaz scrubbed a hand down his face.
I ran after them without a sword, like an idiot.
Though if Emelina wanted to kill him, she had plenty of other opportunities. She could have done it in his bed as he slept. That had to mean something, right? Kaz laughed out loud at the ridiculousness of it all. Was he really grateful that his wife hadn't killed him?
My wife didn't smother me with a pillow. Must be love.
He closed his eyes for a moment.
Are they sending you south?
My father said he was ordering a few of my guards to join the search for her.
No, I'm staying here. They've asked me to act as captain of your guard. Temporarily.
They have?
Yes, if that's all right with you.
Of course it is. You know you'll be captain of my guard one day, permanently. A hint of a smile crossed Gallo's face.
Thank you.
He paused, his expression turning more serious.
May I make a request as your temporary captain?
Sure.
Don't run after Emelina again.
You ran after her as well.
Kaz,
Gallo said with a hint of annoyance.
You can make that request, but I won't promise you anything.
He slowly got to his feet. The room felt too small suddenly, like just talking about Emelina had filled all the space around him.
I'm going to get some fresh air. You know that now isn't the time to leave the castle walls, right?
Of course. I'll just be in the gardens. Gallo took the hint that Kaz wanted to be left alone and didn't follow the prince out of his rooms. The hallways and kitchen were deserted, and he pushed open the back door to the gardens. The cool night air blew across his face, and he took in a deep breath as he walked across the grass. He sat down at the base of a tree, stretching his legs out in front of him. Would people think it was weird if he slept out here beneath the stars? He leaned his head back against the tree, listening to the hum of chirping crickets and the sound of the breeze tossing the leaves around. He didn't care if people thought it was weird. At least out here there was plenty of air. Even Emelina couldn't fill up this space. A boom woke Kaz from his sleep. His eyes flew open. A second boom sounded in the distance. The yelling began so suddenly his body lurched, his feet slipping on the grass as he scrambled to his feet. A bell started ringing. Someone was sounding the alarm to warn of an attack. Kaz ran for the back door, throwing it open and racing through the kitchen and into the foyer.
Kaz? Kaz!
Gallo's voice echoed through the castle from upstairs as Kaz ran through the foyer. The hallways were suddenly flooded with light as the staff rushed to ignite the lanterns.
Here!
Kaz called. Gallo's footsteps pounded above him, and he appeared at the top of the stairs, his face grim. He raced down.
Also is attacking on the shore. We have to get you out of here immediately.
Panic gripped Kaz as the guards and household staff began running past him. They were unprepared for a fight. Emelina had been gone only 2 days, and they'd yet to call all the hunters back from Valos and Ruina. Many of the guards were headed south to search for her.
We'll go out the passageways and back, Gallo said, tugging on his arm.
Screams ripped through the air, and Kaz twisted around to find his mother sprinting across the foyer with a guard close behind her. She wore a purple robe that had come mostly undone, her white nightgown peeking out as she ran.
I won't go without Kaz, she yelled.
I'm right here,
Kaz said, and she raced to him, her braid flying behind her.
Into the passageways, now, Gallo said, giving them a push.
His mother grabbed his hand, and Kaz looked over his shoulder as she pulled him with her.
"Where is father?"
"His guards will take care of him,"
Gallo said firmly. The sound of glass breaking shattered the brief quiet, and Kaz flinched, ducking his head as something hurtled through the front window. Flames burst from the object, and the guards circled around it, stomping it out with their feet.
"Kaz!"
his mother yelled. He realized suddenly that her hand had slipped out of his, and he turned to find her being pushed and shoved toward the kitchen.
"Go!" he yelled. "I'm right behind you!"
Swords crashed together somewhere outside, and Kaz let Gallo shove him in the direction of the kitchen. He saw his mother's head disappear around the corner, and only a moment later, a swarm of people in white and red rushed through the doors. Also warriors. Kaz scrambled backward, turning and breaking into a run with Gallo beside him. Another flaming ball rocketed through the window, and Kaz hit the floor, covering his head with his hands. Gallo knelt down next to him, using his body to shield Kaz. Kaz felt the heat of the flames as the ball hit far too close to them. He ducked away, straightening to find Gallo with his left arm on fire. Gallo ripped off his jacket and stomped out the flames. Kaz felt a hand on his arm, and he whirled around to find his father next to him. He had to beat back the urge to throw his arms around his father's neck like he was 5 years old again. His father handed Kaz a sword. It was heavier than he was used to, the red band around the hilt identifying it as a warrior sword. His father's blade had blood smeared across it. Kaz took off behind the king, looking over his shoulder to find the Ulso warriors spilling out of the kitchen. Screams echoed through the halls, and he could only pray that his mother had made it out and the warriors hadn't noticed the passageway. Gallo lifted his sword as two warriors rushed at him.
"Go!"
he yelled over his shoulder. Kaz ran behind his father, almost crashing into him when he came to an abrupt stop as they rounded a corner. Three warriors stood in front of them. Light flickered across their faces, and Kaz started as he recognized one of them. Benito. The warrior's eyebrows were drawn together, his lip curling as he charged them.
"Here!" another warrior yelled down the hallway as he lunged at the king. "I've got the king and the prince!"
Kaz lifted his sword, jumping back as Benito swung at him. The blade barely missed his neck, and he realized with a flash of horror that the warriors had been ordered to kill them. They wouldn't be captured or brought anywhere for negotiations. Panic vibrated through his every limb, and when he swung his sword, a strangled grunt accompanied the effort. Benito's sword met his. Out of the corner of his eye, Kaz saw one of the warriors fall, and his father engaged the other. He sidestepped as Benito lunged at him. The warrior lost his balance, stumbling forward. Kaz quickly turned, slamming his boot into the back of Benito's legs. The warrior hit the ground on his knees and scrambled against the stone. Kaz drove his blade into Benito's chest. The warrior made a horrible, gurgling sound, the sword sliding out of his stomach as he toppled to the ground. Blood dripped off the metal, and Kaz tried to shake it off, his stomach rising into his throat. He only succeeded in splattering blood across the blue wall. A hand grabbed his arm, and he jumped, almost hitting the king with his sword as he whirled around. The two other warriors were dead on the ground, and his father gave him a look of approval as he glanced at Benito. Someone nearby started shouting, and his father tugged on his arm. Kaz had to jump over a dead body as they ran down the hallway. His breath started to come out in panicked puffs, and he transferred his sword to his left hand, wiping his sweaty palm on his pants. Flames licked up the walls at the far end of the hallway, and his father turned, pushing open the door to a sitting room.
"The window,"
he said, gesturing for Kaz to go ahead of him. Kaz ran into the dark room and to the large window, unhooking the latch and pushing it open. A gust of smoky air blew across Kaz's face.
"Where did they go?"
a voice yelled. He whirled around just in time to see a warrior running into the room, making a mad dash for the king. His father was ready,
sword lifted.
Go!
He yelled. Kaz ignored him, lunging at the warrior instead. The knife in the man's left hand flashed across his vision, and he opened his mouth to yell a warning to his father. The warrior drove the knife into his father's chest. The king gasped, his sword clattering to the floor. The warrior gave the knife a shove. The king toppled over, hitting the floor with a thud. Kaz froze. Red spread across his father's shirt. But Kaz was sure he wasn't going to die. He couldn't. The warrior darted toward Kaz, and his brain snapped to attention. He surged forward, surprising the warrior, and his blade immediately nicked the warrior's arm. The man sprang out of the way, and then lunged for Kaz. Kaz blocked his attack, taking two quick steps back and darting around the warrior. He jabbed his blade straight into the man's side. The warrior gasped as Kaz yanked it out of his flesh. He sliced the blade across the warrior's neck. Kaz turned away as the man fell. The king was sprawled out on his back on the floor, his white shirt entirely red. Kaz dropped down on his knees, his body cold and shaking. Would he be able to pull his father through the window? Maybe Kaz could put him on his back. His father's eyes were drifting open and closed, his head lolling to one side. His lips parted, but only a weird squeaking noise came out. His chest stopped moving. Kaz's hands were on his father's chest, and they were red with his blood now, but he'd lost feeling in them. Kaz's whole body seemed to have departed, actually. He realized suddenly he was whispering his father's name over and over, but it didn't seem to be doing anything to wake him up. He wasn't waking up. His father was dead.
Put the castle staff in the wagon!
The yell from behind him made Kaz jump, and he quickly moved his hands off his father's chest as feeling returned to them.
Find the prince! The voice yelled. Kill him on sight!
Kaz stumbled as he got to his feet. The sounds of boots thumping and voices yelling echoed all through the castle. He was surrounded. He wiped his bloody hands on his black pants and darted to the window, sparing a glance at the dead warrior on the ground. He had to resist the urge to drive his sword into the dead man's chest. The blood seeping from his neck and pooling on the floor didn't seem like enough punishment. He peered around the windowsill. Smoke curled up into the night sky in the distance, near the center of town, and his heart jumped into his throat. Were they killing innocent people? Were they going to burn the whole city to the ground? Was he the one who was going to have to decide how to retaliate, now that his father was dead? He pushed the thought out of his mind. Now was not the time to panic about the fact that he'd just become the king. He wouldn't be ruling anything if they caught him. He looked left, to the front of the castle, and saw two warriors standing at the corner, their backs to him. He squinted to the right, at the dark wall that led to the gardens. He couldn't see anyone in that direction, but there was a lot of noise very nearby. Light spilled out onto the grass, and he suspected there were quite a few warriors in the gardens. He eased his foot out the window, his sword still gripped in one hand. He didn't turn back to his father. Somehow he knew that if he turned around now, that was the image that would stay burned into his brain forever. His feet hit the ground with a soft thud, and he crouched down next to the wall, stilling for a moment as he made sure no one had caught his movement. He had three choices: make a run for it, which was likely to draw attention, try to sneak out the front gate, which was near impossible, or try to make it through the gardens to the tree in back and attempt to jump over the wall. The latter was probably his best choice. He suspected there were more warriors in that direction, but that might work in his favor. It'd be harder to spot in the chaos. He stayed low to the ground as he ran next to the castle wall. Kill him on sight.
The words rolled through his brain again, and he looked down at his clothes. His shirt was gray, without any royal insignia on it. Many of the Ulso warriors had never met him, but they must have seen drawings of him. He leaned down, grabbing some dirt and rubbing it across his cheeks. He ruffled his hair as well, pulling a few strands down into his eyes. It wasn't the best disguise, but perhaps they wouldn't recognize him right away. He continued along the wall until he made it to the rear of the castle. He peered around the corner. Horses led a wagon into the gardens. The wagon was a completely sealed wooden box on wheels, usually used to transport prisoners. The warriors must have stolen it. Some of the castle staff were lined up to get in the wagon. Where were the warriors taking them? He glanced out at the gardens. At least 50 Ulso warriors milled around. Some ran back and forth, clearly in search of something.
"The king is dead,"
someone yelled from the back door.
"No sign of the prince."
A hand clapped over his mouth suddenly, and Kaz's body jerked. He started to twist from the tight grip the man had on him.
"Your Highness," the voice whispered. "Don't panic."
The hand disappeared from his mouth, and Kaz turned. A boy a few years younger than Kaz stood in front of him. He had a scar across one eyebrow and looked vaguely familiar. He worked in the kitchen, maybe.
"I'm sorry I did that," the boy said,
his eyes round with fear.
"I didn't want you to make any noise and..."
Kaz waved his hand for him to be quiet.
"It's fine."
The boy started unbuttoning his blue shirt.
"Take off your shirt and give it to me, Your Highness. If we trade and you get caught, they'll think you're part of the staff. They're putting all the staff in that wagon."
"Oh." Kaz blinked at him before reaching to unbutton his own shirt.
"Thank you. That's very smart."
His hands stilled as something occurred to him.
"Will they think you're me if you're wearing my shirt? Some of the warriors inside saw me."
The boy started to laugh, then quickly stifled the sound.
"No, Your Highness. I don't think there's any danger of them mistaking me for you."
The boy was tall and broad, his blonde hair brushing his collar. He had a long nose and a pointed chin, and Kaz realized he was right. The warriors must have had a vague idea of what Kaz looked like, and this boy in no way resembled him. He pulled the boy's shirt on. The sleeves were a little short, and it was a bit tight, but it would do.
"What's your name?" he asked. "Felipe." "Thank you, Felipe."
A flash of red caught his eye. Behind the boy, an Ulso warrior was coming around the corner of the castle, his head turned to call something over his shoulder. Kaz grabbed Felipe's arm and dashed to the left, his sights set on the bushes only a few paces in front of them. He dove behind one, crouching down next to Felipe. The Ulso warrior was joined by three others, and Kaz held his breath as their boots crunched against the grass. He gripped his sword with two fingers and went down on his hands and knees, crawling into the gardens. Felipe followed him. The row of bushes extended only a bit farther in front of him. Then it was open space until he made it to the hedges. He would have a hard time making it through without someone seeing him.
"I'll create a distraction so it's easier for you," Felipe whispered behind him.
Kaz wanted to argue, but the boy had a determined look on his face, like he'd already decided. He nodded. Felipe shot to his feet and ran in the opposite direction.
"There!" a woman yelled. "There's someone behind that bush!"
Kaz waited until Felipe was halfway to the front of the castle before he took off. The warriors were all occupied running after him, and if he could just make it a few more steps... He was yanked back by his shirt suddenly, the collar straining against his neck so hard he choked. His feet came off the ground. A boot slammed into the back of his legs. His sword sprang out of his hand and bounced out of reach. He hit the grass hard, gasping for air and taking in some dirt as well.
"Get up!"
a man's voice spat.
Kaz slowly got to his knees, and then his feet. His heart thudded in his chest, and he was intensely aware of the sword the warrior had in his hand. It was half-lifted in warning. The man gave him another shove with his boot, almost knocking Kaz to the ground again.
"In the wagon with the rest!"
Kaz did as he was told, the warrior following close behind.
"Two more castle staff," the warrior said.
Out of the corner of his eye, Kaz saw Felipe being dragged across the grass by a warrior. A female warrior stood at the back of the wagon, and she jerked her thumb for them to get in.
"Any sign of the prince?" she asked the other warrior.
Kaz ducked his chin into his chest.
"No."
"Start spreading the word to the locals that there's a significant reward for finding him, dead or alive," the female warrior said. "Preferably dead."
Kaz dared a glance inside the wagon and saw about 30 members of the castle staff loaded inside. They were a mix of young and old, cooks and maids he'd seen only in passing. He even spotted two guards. A few eyes widened in recognition. He took a step inside, swallowing as he realized any of them could give him up if they wanted. But everyone was silent as he stepped into the wagon. Felipe followed behind him. Kaz felt gentle tugs on his left arm, and he turned to see the staff making a hole in back for him to sit. He slumped down, pulling his knees to his chest, and the staff immediately filled in the space around him, hiding him from view.
"Are you hurt?"
an older woman he vaguely recognized whispered. Daniela. She'd worked in the castle gardens for as long as he could remember. She grabbed his bloody hands. He shook his head.
"No, it's not mine."
He tried wiping his hands on his pants again, but the blood had started to dry and it didn't budge. He noticed he was shaking, as were most of the people sitting around him. They were staring at him with tight, scared faces, and he quickly stuffed his hands beneath him.
"It will be all right," he said quietly.
His voice shook, betraying the fact that he knew that was an outrageous lie.
"They have taken the castle, but they have not taken Lara."
That one wasn't so much a lie as a hopeful declaration, since he had no way of knowing. What if Ulso was already in the southern mountains? What if they'd defeated all the troops headed there? His mother and Jovita would head straight for the mountains as soon as they escaped. If they escaped.
Chapter 25. At night, M thought of Kaz. And also in the mornings, afternoons, and evenings. But especially at night. 2 days had passed since their escape. M watched as the sun disappeared completely behind the trees and the world fell into darkness. They'd been walking since early that morning, and her feet ached as she slid down a tree trunk. The jungle was noisy around her, even though everyone in their party was quiet and on constant alert. The jungle was an absolute gift, loud and crowded, with chirping bugs and squawking birds competing for space with vines, trees, and leaves as big as her face. The forests of Valos and Ruina were different. Quiet, sparse, harder to hide in. Iria passed her a small piece of dried meat, and she took it with a soft, "Thank you." She tore off a piece of meat with her teeth, looking down at the mess that used to be her dress. The blue fabric was now completely brown at the hem, and smudges of dirt dotted the skirt. There was even a smear of blood from where she'd caught the sharp edge of a tree branch on her arm and wiped it on her skirt. She'd fashioned a belt out of a vine and stuck her sword through it, and she found herself always watching the warrior's movements, waiting to see if they were still partners now that they were safely away from the Lara castle. 2 warriors against 1 tired, useless, ruined.
not her best odds.
"Who's taking first watch?" Koldo asked, planting his hands on his hips as he surveyed the jungle.
"I will," Em said, even though she was exhausted. She didn't want to sleep. Every time she closed her eyes, she saw Kaz's face. When she drifted off for even a few minutes, the guilty ache in her chest would jerk her awake, and everything she'd done would come rushing back.
"You barely slept at all last night," Iria said.
Em shrugged, dropping her gaze to the ground.
"Koldo, you want to refill the canteens?"
Iria asked.
"Sure,"
Koldo said, taking the hint and disappearing in the direction of a nearby stream. Iria watched him go, the sound of his footsteps fading into the distance.
"I know that you developed feelings for Kaz, and it's eating you up that he's going to die. But don't lose sight of why you did this," she said quietly. "Your people were headed for extinction, and you're the only one who stepped in to do something about it. You did what you had to do."
"I did what I chose to do."
"You chose right."
"Yes, you did," a voice said.
Iria scrambled to her feet, pulling out her sword. Aaron stepped out from behind a tree, hands raised in surrender. Em jumped up and threw her arms around him. Iria let out a relieved sigh.
"I didn't hear you coming."
Em grasped both his arms. "Are you injured? Did the Lara soldiers hunt you down?" He smirked.
"They tried."
He glanced around.
"No horses? Are we traveling all the way to Valos on foot?"
"Warriors will meet us with horses day after tomorrow," Iria said. "If all is going well, they should be launching their attack right about now."
She looked up at the sky.
"We've traveled too far to hear it, unfortunately."
Em's stomach dropped into her feet. Was Kaz already dead? Would he be able to escape? She rubbed her fingers across her forehead, the guilt burning so intensely in her chest it took her breath away. This had always been the plan. If the warriors didn't attack, then she'd have no hope of rescuing Olivia. They'd be completely outnumbered when they arrived at the Valos Mountains. She'd known this was how her time at the castle would end. Still, she felt like curling into a ball and screaming. Aaron nudged her arm.
"Iria's right about sleeping, Em. I could use some sleep as well. I covered your tracks as best I could as I followed you, but I'm sure we'll still encounter some Lara soldiers soon. We need to be prepared."
"I'll keep watch," Iria said.
Em's shoulders slumped in defeat as she let Aaron tug her down to the ground. He put an arm around her, leaning back against the tree. "Thanks for finding me," she said, resting her head on his shoulder.
"Thanks for not getting killed," he whispered, squeezing her arm. "That would have really put a damper on my day."
Her lips twitched up as she let her eyes drift closed. Chapter 26. Kaz lurched forward as the wagon stopped. A few of the people around him stirred, waking from sleep. Beside him, Daniela arched her back, wincing as she rubbed a wrinkled hand across her eyes. They'd been crammed in the closed wooden wagon all night, and it was incredible that some of them were able to sleep. He wasn't sure he'd ever sleep again. It was dim inside the wagon, only wisps of sunlight leaking in through the cracks in the wood. It was almost unbearably hot inside, and Kaz's clothes were stuck to his body. The door at the back swung open, and Kaz squinted in the bright sunshine.
"Men first,"
the warrior barked. He jerked his thumb, indicating they should get out. For a brief moment, Kaz panicked, thinking the warriors were lining them up for execution.
"Over there in the bushes,"
someone said as the men started piling out.
Kaz sighed as he realized the warriors were just letting the prisoners relieve themselves. He climbed out of the wagon, ducking his head into his chest. There were 6 warriors around the wagon, and Kaz noticed that many of the saddles were Lara colors as they dismounted their horses. They must have taken them from the castle or the townspeople. The warriors marched them in a straight line to the bushes, swords pointed at their backs. No one appeared to be thinking about running, as that seemed pointless. A few warriors had spread out in a circle, covering every corner.
"Quickly!"
a warrior barked as they approached a thick patch of bushes. When they headed back, Kaz snuck a glance around. They must have been traveling south, because the air was thicker near the jungle. Were they headed for the southern mountains? Would Emelina be there? Anger bubbled in his chest, so powerfully it almost knocked him over. She must have known the warriors planned to attack. She'd probably had a hand in planning it. She'd known they were coming specifically to kill him and his family, and she'd let it happen. How strong could her feelings really be for him if she'd so easily sent him to his death? His father was gone because of her. Gallo, too, most likely. His throat closed, and he forced the image of his dead father out of his brain. The women streamed out of the wagon as the men approached, and Kaz took a moment to appreciate the fresh air around him. How many days was he going to be in that wagon? And worse, where was he going to be when they finally let them out? The man in front of him stepped onto the wagon, and Kaz put one foot up, tossing his hair out of his eyes.
"Wait,"
the warrior said. Kaz froze as a hand closed over his arm.
"Look at me."
Kaz's heart stopped. The warrior gasped as their eyes met. The warrior's hand found his sword.
"You're..."
Felipe shot in front of Kaz so quickly it was nothing but a blur. The boy kicked the warrior in the hand, sending the sword flying. The boy scrambled in the dirt to grab it, and Kaz opened his mouth to scream for him to stop. Felipe grabbed the sword and sank the blade into the warrior's chest. Kaz's eyes went wide as the warrior fell to the ground, his mouth forming silent words. A female warrior lunged, easily blocking Felipe's attack. She sliced her blade across his neck. Kaz screamed. A sob caught in his throat as he fell to the ground. Felipe's blood pooled beneath his knees. Someone grabbed him under the arms and he struggled against them, kicking his legs and trying to get back to the boy.
"Get him in there or I'll slit his throat too," the female warrior yelled.
Tears streamed down Kaz's face as a staff member gently tugged him into the wagon. He wiped a hand across his face as he scooted on his knees to the corner of the wagon, but a fresh wave of tears came. People moved in all around him. Daniela sat beside him again. She put a hand on his arm, and he had to fight back another wave of tears. He took in a shaky breath, glancing at the people around him.
"Please, don't anyone else do that," he whispered.
Daniela patted his arm.
"I'm sorry, Your Highness, but I think we're all going to ignore that order."
His cheeks burned as he wiped tears from them. His people were probably looking to him for leadership and strength, and he was weeping like a child. He cleared his throat, turning his gaze to his feet. They began moving again, and Kaz spent most of the morning and afternoon struggling to hear the chatter outside. He needed a plan, and an idea of their location, but the warriors gave no indication as to where they were going. The only hint he got was that they were sticking to the road and staying clear of the river, which he took to mean they were avoiding traveling through the heart of the jungle. It would have been very difficult with a wagon anyway. He leaned his head back against the wall.